No, I'm in the bar tomorrow.
Right. Everybody knows this line.
Yeah, classic.
You had a shear on this already?
Yeah.
You had shearing?
We actually did the Gemara this week on that.
Oh, so you did the Gemara. Okay. Good. Amar Rava. So Rava writes, Mechayev Inish Levesumei Bepuria. A person is Mechuyev Levesumei Bepuria. And keep in mind, it doesn't say Lishtakya, right? You learned that. It doesn't say Lishtakya. It doesn't say a person is obligated to get drunk. It says Levesumei.
Rashi says
Lashon, yeah, but why does he use the word Sumei? Sumei is just what it means, but it's Lashon Besomim, right? Besurei or Besomim, right? Sumei.
Spices.
Different, yeah. Spices. Mordechai, Marjor, you know. Spices. Esther, Hadassah. What's that?
Yeah,
what kind of does it mean? It's Sumei. Sumei Bipuria. The low yodah between Aru Haman and the Borach Mordechai. Until you don't know between Aru Haman and the Borach Mordechai, I've been used to the Sume. Now, we'll see. I've been used to the Sume before. You know, there's a Gemara earlier. You read the Gemara about. I think it was Abaya. He's talking about in Purim that when he left his Rava's house, right, that he was full, there was nothing to eat, right? He couldn't eat any. Then when he got food, whatever, to Rava, right, they served him, what was it, 24 dishes. The last dish was tzli kedar.
What?
You know the Gemara?
Pot.
Pot roast.
Right, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they said, he said, I couldn't eat anything. And then I went, you know, Shalach Havanas, I went over to somebody else. When I got in there, they served me, I don't know, 24 different types of dishes. And the last thing that they served me was tzli kedar. Tzli kedar literally means pot roast. You know what pot roast is? Anybody know what pot roast is?
Yeah, yeah.
What's pot?
Pot roast it's like a
potatoes. Yes. Pot roast is something that's cooked in its own juices.
Oh.
That's pot roast, as opposed to in water. You put it in there and its own juices cook it. Yeah. So, he said, that he didn't have any tzli kedar until pot roast. Yeah, the last thing that was given me was pot roast. And he said that tzli kedar that I ate. Yeah, and he ate them all, including the last dishes. He said he was so hungry at the end that he wanted to eat the pots. You know, after he ate all the dishes, not only did he eat everything.
How could he be so hungry after 20?
So the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara asks, how could he have been so hungry? You know. Yeah, how could he have been so hungry if he thought he was full? So, the Gemara gives two answers to explain this. How could it be that he was full? Right. The first answer that he gives is that Roy Vinish Velo Yodor. The first answer is that he was really starving the entire time while he didn't know it. Thinking, you know, he was starving. He felt he was full. He wasn't full. He was. People in this world are starving. They just don't know it, right? They thought they were. He thought he was full, but he was mistaken. He just didn't realize how hungry he was. And then when he went, and he had these foods. So then he realized that he was really starving. All the second answer to Gemara brings is Rivchad de Vesine Shichin, which means, loosely translated, there's always room for desserts. Revach, Levesumei Shkifa. Levesumei uses the Russian of Levesumei over there. So, they say, I think the chat is on these two explanations. Yeah, they're trying to explain something. Yeah, how do we look at something? People, they think they're full and life, you know, they don't want more, they're completely happy. And then all of a sudden, it happens a lot. You get into a situation and you realize that you're lacking. You know, there's such a thing. Sometimes people feel that they're full, and all of a sudden, they feel, what is it to be full? They feel that there's nothing more that I need. I'm happy, I'm content, there's nothing more than I need in life. I can't hold anymore. They're not able to actually even take anything. You know? And then all of a sudden, one day it comes to them and they realize that incredibly starving. There's no room for how much they needed. So how do we explain that? What's the shot on that? You know, they write, the portion they write about people who are people who revolt. And out of these are the revolutionary political science majors. And somebody wrote, you know, why, when do people rebel? When do they rebel? So they say that people never rebel when they're rock bottom. Mm-hmm. When people, you know, are suffering terribly, yeah, so then they never rebel. Why not? Because when you're on the bottom, the fact that you're on the bottom means that you have no vision of anything more. You're stuck, and therefore you don't want anything else when you're really on the bottom. That's what it means to be depressed. You know, you just don't want anything more. Yeah, that means that you don't need anything more. No. Then what happens is that what happens is that people never rebel in such situations. When do people rebel? They rebel when things start to get better. You know, things start to get better. All of a sudden you get a little bit of food. All of a sudden you're able to recognize that it's a possibility, you know, for change. You know. And then they don't get better. Then people can't take it anymore. They have to, you know, they just throw off the whole system. But when people are on the bottom, you know, so they don't rebel. You know, we just came from a fast day at Tynus. So I don't know about you, but I'm never really hungry in the middle of the Tynus. Yeah. When you don't eat for a long time, so the stomach shrinks, you know. And a person isn't hungry. You're not really hungry. A starving person isn't necessarily hungry. The body adjusts. You have to adjust. You have to function in life. And in order to adjust and function, you know, so what do? You respond, and you live in a period of time whereby you feel like you don't need anything. As a matter of fact, a person can be starving. That's the language of the Gemara. A person can be starving and have no sense that he's hungry. He's not hungry. His stomach shrivels up. He hasn't eaten for 3 days, you know. And if somebody will ask him, are you hungry? He'll say no. He may not even have a desire to eat. Now, practically speaking, what is the pshat of this person? Yeah. Is he hungry or is he not hungry? He said he's not hungry. So how do you define it? He needs food desperately. He's dying from starvation. Right? But he looks and he says, yeah, there's no problem. You know? No problem. He doesn't feel hungry. But he's dying from starvation. He needs food badly. He's not even aware that he needs it so badly. A person can be starving and not know it. That's how that's how life is. You know? All of a sudden, give that person a little tiny bit of food, and he'll be ravenous. Give him, open up his stomach a little bit, a little sweet to chew on, you know, a little bit of chewing gum, you know, something like that, you know what I mean, to suck a sucking candy, you know. The hunger that person has will be overwhelming in minutes. He won't be able to live with the situation. But that's once he's able to taste a little bit of sugar, you know. Now they opened up the stomach of Rabbi Tzadok. You know, Rabbi Tzadok is the Gemara about this. Rabbi Tzadok was the great tzaddik who fasted for, I don't know, 40 years or whatever before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash by Hashem. So when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you know, was miraculously, you know, saved, whatever he prophesied to the Caesar, you know, that he was going to be king, and the Caesar said, ask for anything, I'll give it to you. So he asked for 3 things, you know, Yavne, the city of Yavne, and he asked for the wine of Gamliel, and the 3rd thing he asked was a doctor for Tzadik. But Tzadik was like a Tzadik Kador. And they say that he fasted for 40 years, he used to take dates, and he used to suck on them, just pull out the juice and spit out the pulp, and that's all he ate for, I don't know, 40 years, year after year. That was it. So he lived. And he became so thin that you could see it like going down. You know,
oh my goodness.
So then there's a whole Gemara, you know. There's an entire Gemara about how do you get a person like that to be able to eat? You know, you can't just give him food. You have to slowly open up his stomach. You know, you give a little tiny bit here, a little tiny bit there, until he's able to take more, until then he's able to be makabel the oichel. His body needs it terribly, but his body's shut down. You know, that happened, by the way, in the concentration camp. You know what happened when the Americans first came to the concentration camp? So, you know, it was different. The Russians knew how to deal with starving people. you know. But the Americans didn't know. So they came into these concentration camps, and there were people that were starving, and they gave them, you know, a steak, you know, potatoes, whatever that they had, and people died. Literally, they killed them. People died because you can't give a starving man such rich food. The body's shut down, you know. The body's shut down. So, you know, so the Gemara says, what do you do? Rav Tzadik, you give him a little bit of food here, a little bit over there, a little bit over there. Finally, he's able to a couple more, and then he gets hungry, and he's getting an appetite, and then you give him, and there's no end. But the truth is, that person is really starving. He just doesn't know it. There are people in this world who are starving, you know, and they don't know it, you know. Go and ask people, think, I'm happy, what am I doing, you know, living a life, you know, going to the beach, doing anything, you know. Alive without any roof, there's no problem. I have my car, I have everything, you know. No problem. Yeah, often you find people that aren't even aware of it, you know. You could take a Jew, you know, and scratch a little bit underneath, they'll be starving for ruchness. You know, you have no idea. What do I have? I go to a baseball game. You know what I mean? People, sometimes this person is starving. So the question is, you know, that's what the learning here on Purim, the first Adam, he's saying, I was in my house and I was full, complete, you know, complete. I didn't need anything. I didn't need anything. Then all of a sudden I went to Rava's house and he gave me new food, and all of a sudden I realized I was starving the whole time. I didn't realize it was wrong. I was starving. Unbelievable. And I was so hungry that I wanted to eat the pot itself, sleek haydar. I wanted to eat the pot roast that was cooked in its own juices. You know. And not only did I want the roast, but right, not only did I want, but I wanted to eat the pot itself, even things that were edible. I could never be satisfied. Yeah, that's the neshama, right? There's no satisfaction, God. The desire of a person for ruchnis is you know, overwhelming. And even that's Purim, because that's when he came from the simple, from the Kabbalah, you know, the ability thing. But you know, we're limited, you know, realize in life, what limits us, you know, is the ability to actually be Makabel. How much can we take, you know, how much can we take? By the way, so that's the Pshat in the Gemara, you have no idea, people are starving. They don't know it, right? But people are starving along, so you have to realize in a minute, people, if you hit them right, they'll be overwhelmed with desires for ruchness and kedusha. A person who look at them and they're turned off, you know, they're just starving, they just shut down the system, sweeten things up for a little bit, give them a conception of more, you know. Just find a way to open up their stomach, and all of a sudden you'll get to the true nature of human beings and so on. Sometimes we do that on purpose. We'll see, you know, it says in Shir Shirim, she says, you know, I beseech you, daughters of Yerushalayim, don't stir up the Ahava Achatechpas. Don't stir up love until the time is right. She's saying there, you know, the person, you know, if somebody would come up and actually give me a taste of the Geula right now in exile, she said, Pasha, I would be destroyed, I'd be consumed by the Ahava. I wouldn't be able to live. Who would be able to live if he had a sense of, you know, what Olam Haba is like in this world? Go back and live in Olam Haba. You can't do it, of course. We had a sense of Olam Haba. Who would be able to live in this world? Who's going to go back and work? Who's going to be able to do anything? Pasha, the sweetness of it would be so overwhelming that it would Pasha destroy us. Ad kamaves ava. Love is strong like death, it says in Shirshim. Because it mamash would consume you completely. He had a sense of Ava, true Ava. You know, Islamish, there would be nothing left of you. You wouldn't be able to live anymore by the strength of. So she said, I beseech you, daughters of Yerushalayim, yes, please, you know, don't say anything to stir up the Ava, the door that's dormant within me, until the time is right, just as much as I can take. Because if I take too much, you know, I'll eat the pot itself. You know, I won't be able to do it. It's starving. That's the nature of people. Purim over here, you know, we'll see. The other Mandoma says, by the way, that there's always room for shkina. Now, the other Mandoma, what is he learning? He's learning something else altogether. He's learning that the truth is, that Rava was full. Rava was full when he was there. He was full. What happened afterwards? What happened was that he was exposed. Yeah, Basimi. Basimi, as I said, is Basamim. Reyach, of something sweet. You get a sense, you know, of something sweet. You know. So then all of a sudden he gained an increased capacity. He was full before, but then he became empty. 1 minute you're full. Why was he full? Because he didn't have any more room, you know. But all of a sudden you smell something sweet, and now your stomach expands. And you have an increase. It wasn't the fact that you were empty, you didn't know it. You were full. Only once you smell something sweet. That's besoming, a reyach. Now that opens you up, you know, a sweet smell. And now you have a tremendous, you have a capacity that you didn't have before. And now you're hungry. Because you get new besoming. Reyach, always, by the way, always represents a sense of ruchness. Reyach. When the shaman was blown in through the nose, you know. This person sneezes. You know. Trees are amazing, you get up and sneeze, you see, and he warmed, he got up and he sneezed. Reyach is always a sense of ruchness. It comes into the neshama and it represents, it's a ruchnistic thing, Reyach. It represents a person grasping the essence of a thing. Yeah, it's a sense beyond vision. You look at something and it looks, you can't see it, you know, how is it? So you can't, is it good, is it good food, or is it bad? But it looks okay. No. No good. No, so good. That's it. What do you mean? It looks the same by the eyes. Yeah, there's a reyach, you know. Yeah, sometimes you see something, it's a muscle for a higher perception of things. You know? You grasp the essence of things, even though it's beyond sight. My eyes, my logic says, okay, but, you know, yeah, the essence of it is no good. How do you know? Reyach. What does a thing lose by reyach? You know, what is reyach? Doesn't lose anything. Reyach nechoach. Reyach is always the sense. Something you get a sense of the essence of something, and when it's good, you know, so you take a sense and it revives the spirits. On. They used to have a halacha a mugmar. Did you learn the halacha as a mugmar? Never learned about Mugmar. They had
your ice scroll come out with it, yeah.
Could be. I always want to revive this minhag. I'm getting ready to revive this minhag. After they had a big meal, so what they used to do in the Zman of the Gemara, the Talmud, you know, the Mishnah, or whenever it was, they used to pass around a big incense ball. You know what I mean? Everybody would pass it around after they had a big meal. And then they pass it to everybody else, and they pass around this big incense. Yeah, and there's all these things in the Gemara about who makes the bracha on it for everyone else. It was like a certain kavod. I mean, mechaved you to make a bracha. Okay, they give you this big, you know, incense bracha, you know. Hooray, m'nei, v'slamim, for everybody, okay. You know, you pass it around, you know, pass it around. So the fortune said that, why? Because when you have a big meal, you know, like you eat so much, so you sort of, you feel stuffed, you know. You feel like more of a gushin, but you have to revive, yeah. You have to revive yourself. You have to revive the soul after such a big meal. You know? So give incense, right? Incense, you know. So, yeah, incense. What's the pshat? What do we do on that's the mugmar? We get passed around the mugmar. Same thing with Havdalah, right? Revives the soul. Reyach that revives the soul. Havdalah as well. Why do we have Besamim at the end of Havdalah? Huh? Why do we have Besamim at the end of Havdalah? Shami Yisera is gone, you know. Since the Shami Yisera is gone, you feel like a lost one. So still going into the week, like, you have to revive your soul after having lost it, you know, something to give your neruchne sense, you know, sense a little bit more. Bring me in the summing, you know, revives the neshama, you know, after you've lost it, you know. That's what, you know, connects you with the Shabbos, that's what I say. But it's the same thing, you know, again, the reyach, bring me the summing, it's responsible to the concept you get a sense for the true essence of things. That's what reyach is all about. There's a Gaon in Shir Shirim that talks about this as well. He says that reyach, sense of reyach. He says the sense of reyach is the only sense we have left. Can't have to find it. Yeah. He says Tom, all the other senses, sensing ruchnias are gone. He writes in Shirshim. He says reyach is what's left. It's not reyach. Anyway, so he says reyach. You know. So you understand a little bit. He says Ravcha, the sumei shkichin. Yeah. Reyach. You get a reyach of something new. And all of a sudden you have an increased capacity. What do you think? Yeah. your capacities in life remain the same. You get a rant or something else, and you're famished now. You're starving. You were full. You were very full. You know. You were very full. But when I'm, you know, when you get a sense of another world, all of a sudden, then all of a sudden you're empty. You know. You know what the Gemara writes? What the Gemara writes in Brachas? The writes in Brachas, right? That Olam Hazeh is my Olam Habor. You know, in Olam Hazeh, you take in Olam Hazeh, you take a cup. You pour into the cup, right? You keep on pouring. Yeah, when it's empty, so it's empty, right? If you pour water into it, it fills things up. Nachon? If it's empty, right? Full cup. And once it's full, what happens if you keep on pouring water into it? It spills out. You can't pour water into a full cup, right? If it's empty, you pour something in. But if it's full, you can't put anything else in. That's only in Olam Hazeh, right? But with Ruchnis, the things is the exact opposite. Says the Gemara, if it's empty, you can't get anything in there. An empty cup, you can pour and pour and pour, and nothing will go in. You can't get anything into an empty cup. You know. However, yeah, once it's full, there's no end to how much you can pour in there. You just keep on pouring and pouring and pouring. And just keeps on getting fuller and fuller and fuller, and there's no end. Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to go over and visit my friend's house, and in my friend's house, they had this picture, one of these Dutch paintings of a mother pouring milk into a cup. You know what I mean? You see that? I think it was one of these Vermeers or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? If anyone knows any Dutch art. But anyway.
My grandma's good.
She has one like that also?
Is this a print?
Yeah, it was a print, yeah.
I think my grandma has the original.
Oh, really? Very good. So I remember I used to go in, and I remember my friend's mother always to say when I walked in, she always to say, look, it's always pouring, it's still pouring. you know? Just so far, you know Baba Sali, you know Baba Sali? Abu Khadzefer. So he was famous on Purim. Yeah, he used to have a bottle of arak. You know what arak is? Arak is like this, tastes like licorice. What do they call it?
Yeah, it's
you know, and it's white, but it's not black. You know, no, it's arak. It's a drink. It's clear. It tastes a bit like licorice. You pour. So he had one bottle, and on Purim, everybody came in and used to pour everybody a drink, right? And people, you know, thousands of people came to see Baba Sali on Purim. Right, and he never changed the bottle. He just poured it to everyone the entire day. So my friend, my brother-in-law, was learning in Azata then. My brother-in-law was learning in Azata, and that's where he was. That was the yeshiva in the town there, in the Negev, where he used to live.
Wow.
So the Bachrim didn't believe this story. So they divided up the yeshiva to have somebody in the room all day to see if he ever changed the bottle. They found he never changed the bottle. They watched him all day long. He had this one bottle, and he kept pouring a rack all day to everybody who came in for this one bottle. What's that?
I actually wonder about this. But wouldn't that be like not such a, you know, put that out there, like that type of thing, you know?
What's that?
Like, you know, like.
I have to ask him, I don't know.
He's dead.
No, it's not a, it's not a trash.
No. So like if I learn Kabbalah, I could go around and start pouring.
Start talking about Kabbalah. Anyway, what they say, the person is there. You don't have to believe the story if you want.
No, I do believe it.
But anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter. But he says the following, listen, he says in Ruchni, a stick of things, something that's empty, yet nothing will go into it. When a person is empty, you can't be filled up, right? A person who's starving, it's not so easy. Nothing will go into the stomach. You can't get anything in. Right? A person is disconnected, so that there's no connection. However, once a person fills himself up a little bit, so then he immediately has a capacity to receive more. Right? The Yisod in Ruchnis is to learn how to fill yourself up a little bit. Yeah? That's how you grow in Ruchnis. You get a bit of simcha for a mitzvah, one bracha and a davening, you know, one thing that brings you alive. Immediately you have an increased capacity to do more, right? We're on empty. You have to try to find a way that will give you a bit of reyach, you know, something that will give you, fill you a bit full, something gives you a bit sweet to you. As soon as something comes sweet to you, whether it be learning or in Ruch, immediately you have a bit of capacity now to do more, right? Every time you become a little bit full in Ruch, you get a little bit fuller. You get a bigger capacity to have more. So, and that's how people grow. Therefore, a person right now, you know, starts, you have no idea, you know, a human being's capacity, you have no concept of what a person's capacity is. Because we're all living shut down, you know. You get a little, fill yourself a little bit, you get bigger until there's no end to how much you can pour. Dashma isn't like the Dashma is how much ice cream can a person eat. You know what I mean? Your capacities are limited. Exact opposite. But in Rukhmi, yes, that's a whole avoda to learn how to fill yourself up. But it's not such an easy job. But that's Ravchot, this Pesumei Shkichi, that this Revach for Besamim, there's always room for desserts. You taste something sweet, and all of a sudden you become starving. And the sweeter it is, the more you want, right? Until there's no end, right? So he was full. Rava was full, you know. What can he do? But then he went over. Yeah. Abai was full. He went over to Rava's house. He had something a little bit of, a reich or something else. And all of a sudden, wow, what a capacity now. He had a much deeper capacity. You know? So that's called besamim, right? It's a reich and besumei shkichi. That's a besamim. You get a taste, a little bit of the essence of things. And all of a sudden you open up, you have an expanded awareness of what you had before. And all of a sudden you become starving. That's called besamim.
What's the chance this stuff is marijuana?
What?
What's the chance this stuff is marijuana? It's like you're talking about you become starving, like marijuana, like, you know, you take it, you really like you expand your mind. And
But you know, the problem with marijuana and drugs is that it just put you into a world of dimion, right? And it's sad, it's not emes. It's not emes, it's imagination. And it's sad persons.
I'm just trying to like understand it. Because samim doesn't like always make you hungry. Right? Like,
the summon they do, the sweet, that's what it says. It's using it as a parable. But that's what it says, it restores the soul. Something sweet, a certain type of smell.
And it's a good smell.
But they're using it here as a mashal. They're using it here as a parable, really. They're saying that if a person gets a sense, they're using it in a ruchniistic way. That, as I say, if you get a sense of the tov of things, of the essence of things, just like it works in a physical way with the sun. But here they're learning, as a result of that, you realize that you're starving. That's how the Gemara sees it. So it says, the Gemara writes, Amar Rava, Mechai Vinish Le Vesume Vipuria, and the Lo Yodo, Vein Or Rahama, and the Morach Mordechai. So the Vesume means Dafka Le Vesume. So Rashi is Behistakia, but it doesn't mean getting drunk in the simple way. It means Dafka Le Vesume. Until through Purim, you get a certain connection, you know, an expanded awareness that a person, of Tov, we'll see in a minute, in the Sumei Bipuria, Adelo Yodu Benor Amran the Boruch Mordechai, until you have such a kesher of Av, it brings you such a level of Av and Avas Hashem, that as a result of that level of Avas Hashem, Bichlal, Yeshocheach, Legamrei, all the sorrows of Haman. Yeah, and all the rishis of Haman doesn't bother you. Well, it's all Tov. What do I care about all around the world? You transcend in your Avon. You come to a calling. It doesn't bother you at all. Even all the rishis and all around the world, I'm at peace with them. Avon Hashem. I don't know the difference between Aro Haman, Boruch Mordechai. It's a getter of Avon. It comes from an expanded awareness. The Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's called getting drunk on the Torah. You understand? Chai Vinish the Sumei. Sumei the Poya, because Rivchud the Sumei Shkicha. Get a taiva, a desire for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's so powerful. What do I care about Hogan's in the world? And all of the Saddam Hussein's in the world? And all of the Rishoy? What do I care about them? What's that bell? Call and talk with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Grace the world. Abba Hashem is Mevatel, all Ra. It's a very good idea. Now the Gemara goes further, we'll see. Yeah, the Gemara writes afterwards, it's the Besume Bipuria. That's how you know if you're drinking properly on Purim. It doesn't say Lishtaker. It doesn't say, I say the exact opposite, Achashverish. You know what I say? What Vashti's claim was to Achashverish. Vashti had a claim to Achashverish. You know what her claim was? When he asked her to come into her, dressed appropriately, and she said to him, "What are you? You stable boy." Achashverish took care of her father's stable, her brother's stables, the horse. And he was just, "You know how to drink," she said to him. "Well, look at you. You start drinking, you turn into an animal." Yeah, my father, he knew how to drink, he could hold his liquor, and you'll look at you. That was why he got so angry. Wow. That was what he said to Afrika. So I say, yeah, Vashti is timing, you know, it echoes through the dust, echoes through the generations. It's like, oh yeah, you know how to drink, as soon as you drink, you turn into an animal. So what kind of thing is that? You know, what are you saying? That's Mamash Achashverosh, you know. Ayid, you know. When he drinks, you know, how Jew drinks. Ad lo yoda vein or amun of Mordechai. Such a dream of right there. Anyway, the Gemara goes, and it says, yeah, ben or amun of Rav of Rabbi Zeira of Dusu, this poirim ba'ani hadadi. Everybody knows the Gemara, right? Rav of Rabbi Zeira, they made a suda as a form together. Ivsum. Ivsum. What does Ivsum mean? Drunk. Come, Rava, Rabba, Shachte, the Rav Zera. Rava got up in the middle of the shikras and shechted Rav Zera. It's a shvegma, you know. Now, I mean, how could he have shechted Rav Zera? Lamach, oh boy, Rachami. The next day, he asked for Rachami. There he is. He is amazing. Lashana, Lamacha. Not while he was drunk, he was drunk. He got up the next day. Realized what he did, so he did a nice chiyus amazing. Lashana, Amar Lei, come, Ma, we'll have suits form together. Amar Lei, I'm sorry. Ain't something all a nice. You know, I'm really lying. Now, it's a shver Gemara, right? What's the Tanoi, a Shech, I guess. So, you read this Gemara, right?
Yep.
So you saw the Marashua. Right?
No.
You didn't see the Marashua?
No.
You didn't see the Marashua?
No, I see Rashi. Oh yeah, they have it down on the arch where they bring it down.
So the Marashua writes, what's that?
Did you repeat the Gemara?
The Gemara says that Rava and Rav Zeira were together in Purim, and they got drunk, Ibsume, it says. Ibsum. And Rava shechted Rav Zeira, he slaughtered him. Took a knife. Slaughtered him. Yeah, now, then afterwards he realized the next day what he... My chat one is, I once said like this. Somebody asked me, because I went to some cottage, it felt like this on Purim. What happened was, is that they got drunk. So what happened when they got drunk? They started learning Chumash. And what did they start learning? A Keges Yitzchak. So they started saying, oh, Keges Yitzchak, you know. So they started talking about it. It's amazing, let's go. They started acting it out, and they got carried away with them. I'm Yitzchak, you're able to die. Then the next morning, he didn't even realize the next morning. Avraham was, we did it. We're better than Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the Baruch Hashem, But he's going to make a karma. And then he got a little bit better. He got a little bit carried away. So like, that was my show. Anyway, the Marashua doesn't say the show. The Marashua, right? Now, yeah, the Marashua learns like this. He says, so what happened was that he didn't literally slaughter him. So I don't have to take knives and slaughter each other. He says, you can't say that. Otherwise, what is the Pshat? The Pshat is like this, that on Purim, Rabbi Rav Zeira went over there, and Rabbi, yeah, brought Rav Zeira to such a high darga of simple that he literally died.
Oh my God!
The Neshama left him on Purim because of the Madrega of Simcha that they reached. In other words, like I said, like the starving man, right? You give him food, like in the camp, you know, it's too rich and they die. You can't take it.
Wow!
So Rav Zeira wasn't on a level to be Taifes the Ava, and the Simcha that he gave him. You know, like you laugh too hard, you'll kill over. You know what I mean? You'll split your sword like those beams. You know those sort of kid stories or whatever. Laugh so hard and split his song. Good, no? He reached a madrega of simcha that was, so great, that he literally, his neshama left him. Altis or was the ava ad shetech was. Don't stir up ava until the time is right. And he couldn't push to go back. His neshama just was pareh from the guf, Can't take olam hazeh anymore. And he just, he's gone, And it was the up to strict the olam habo already. He died from the madregas. He ran way up, That was his level of simcha. He couldn't take it anymore. Until the next year, he had the mamash daven for a nice, this amazing to enable him to actually re-enter into olam hazeh again. Next time, he said that way. It's too much, I'm going a little bit quieter time. But you have to know by saying the beginning, because it says, but we said, we said that the stomach shrinks up. That's, you know, that's talking about on Purim. You see, we live a life of exile. See, what happens is that we live a life of exile. We live a life of Golas. And of course, we live a life of Golas. Yeah, Golas is a type of sleep, you know. It's a type, we're so used to, surrounded by Ra. And we're so overwhelmed by it in all places. So our capacity is to understand and tov and connect and dovek to a Kaddish Baruch Hu are so small, you know. We don't realize, you know, we get used to things and we function and we talk about, yeah, that's the way the world is, and the political leaders are corrupt, and there are piguim every day, and the Jewish people are being attacked, and people who learn Torah don't get into the learning, and then we go all sorts of things, and davening, people daven quickly, and we go all the way through things, and we go through life, you know, Olam Hazeh, with all of the tzaras of Olam Hazeh, and all the problems, and all the people who aren't acting properly, and all of the Ra that we're surrounded by, and then inside ourselves as well, we have Yetzirah, and it pushes this way, and we get depressed, you know. And we live a life, that's the life that we live, you know. And the truth is, as I say, a person is starving, and he doesn't know it. You don't realize how damaged and affected by, you know, all of the Ra that we're exposed to in this world. You know, So the yisod is, you know, on Purim, you know, you're supposed to, you know, high finish the v'sume v'puria, you know, to transcend that and leave it all behind. You get a, you know, reach a dark of simcha, that's the point of the yayin, you know, nichmaso, you get a sense of the essence of things, the true essence of the Jew, you know, that's like yayin is the gematria sod, right? Because yayin, and that's the connection between yayin and reyach. Because yayin is the thing, the sod is the essence of the person that comes out. And on Purim, because of, you know, that of all the, you know. Yayin and reyach. Because reyach, we said, is what? Reyach is the ability to sense the essence of something. And yayin is nichlas yayin yotze sod. That through yayin, you're able to get to the essence of the thing. That's why it says livesume in terms of drinking wine. That, because through yayin, you're able to. It's kind of drinking on Purim is the yisod, not that you turn into Ahasuerus and try to be like one of these, you know, stupid, you know, drinking parties, you know. You know, it's like the exact opposite of the thing. Like, I remember, you know, the way that you see people, you know, acting like fools, you know, that's the exact opposite. Yeah, it's not Yishtaka. Purim is like Mamash, as I say, that through the yayin, you get into. Mamash, it connects you beyond the seichel. Sometimes you have to transcend the seichel, and I'll tell you what. Because if you use your seichel, you live in a world where what? Yeah. You see so much ra with your seichel, you know? And it's so real to you. Look at this person, this ra. And that's what the seichel's for, to tell you how to function in this world, and you see the reality of it, you know? This is no good, and this is no good, and you start making all the divisions, and you know? And sometimes you have to realize that all of the things that we see and perceive with our seichel, yeah, they're all bottle. None of it has any reality. It's all bottle. It's all, what is it? What reality is Rani at? It has a real reality? No. It doesn't have a real reality. It's a question of mask. You know? That's why people dress up. You think you're looking at reality? It's a mask. It's not real. Right. That's a, you know, you look and you take it with your seichel and gives it reality. What is it? It's a question. That's reality. You know. The Gemara says, yeah, Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He asked him, yeah, why was it the Jewish people were high of, you know, Misa, and they such a gezerah during the times of Purim? What happened to them? So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says to them, you tell me. Yeah, it's a good rabbi. You know, when he asked me, you tell me why. They said, because they went to the suit of Ahasuerus. So he said to them, that was the reason. So I understand why the people of Shushan Shevik Bezerah, but what about the rest of the Jews? Kasha. So he said, so they said to him, all right, well, you tell us, and that's what he asked in the first place. So he said, because they bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar made this huge statue of himself, and the Jews from all over came and bowed down to him. So they asked him, the two students asked him, if so, so why were they saved? I mean, if they all worshipped the idols. So he answered, no, you don't understand. He said, they only did it mibifnim. They only did it on the face. They didn't really need to worship idols. They were doing it because they were scared. So that's why they did it. So he said, as a result, the Kaddish Baruch Hu also wanted Purim. He just put on a big mask to scare them. Right. It was mina keneged mina. Since they didn't really mean it. Inside, they're really for Hashem, but on the outside, they didn't put on a big mask. Saying, you know, that's a pretty big mask we have in Purim. It was a gzera to annihilate every single Jew in the entire world, right? And, you know, it wasn't so simple. That's some mask, you know.
Right.
And not only that, but the Hashmi Laro Labe, to take all of the property, burn their body, and just say, obviously, how could it be? Teretz is, because you're right, in a Hanami, it's a mask. Ah, it's reality. It's such a mask, right? However, we live in a world where that's the reality that we see, you know. And just as usually yarn is the thing that you're able to, the thing that looks so bad, you're able to put it in a different perspective. What is it in the end? You know, that's what happens. You go through, what happens when you drink wine? Why do people, you know, drink? Something sees to them and it seems so real that they can't do it. Then you drink wine and you get a perspective on it. It allows you to transcend it. Ah, that thing, why do I care? What's the big deal? You know, I can live with it. So what? You know, person's sick. So what? You know, doesn't hurt me. It like it's a, you know, then the reaction to it, and it gives you a different perspective and you're more. So you can live with it now. It's not a big problem. I can go on, you know. Having the wine myself, you realize it comes back. I have to go back to reality again. But the truth is that in Purim, the yayin does it in a much deeper way. You're right. What? All this ra and all the gezeres in the world and everything. What is it really? What is it? Has any reality to it? But it does it because you get to the essence of Dvarim. You're able to catch the essence, right? Of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you feel the kedusha that's beyond the seichel, the neshama that perceives deeper than the seichel, the neshama. And then you're able to see the Tov called Dovah, you know, you're able to see the neshama of every Jew, and you get into the Nefilim, you feel your own Penim, and then you're able to sense a different world. And through that you transcend Olam Hazel and Gamrei, you know, and you're able to see Mamash like a life of Olam Haba already. It's a different type of world. As with the Suma, you have a different capacity. Right? Now, but you have to be careful how you do that, because if you do it improperly, so then, as I say, you'll never come back to Olam Hazel. Yeah, if your stomach is closed, you have to know. That's what we say. Eat too rich food will die. You know? And that's why the Gemara says right afterwards is that he gives him in Rova Shecht in Reb Zera. So fortunate that Rova Shecht in Reb Zera. He went to Madrega, too much simcha. He left Olam Hazel Lagamre. You know? It was too much. Too much simcha. As I say, don't stir up love, Achatechpot, until the time is right. So you have to watch how far you go. Go ahead.
I find it hard to relate to, well, probably because I'm still sober. but you can relate to your own suffering, like it's nothing like really how Hashem's in charge and so on. So it's all for good. But for other people suffering, and you can see they're wasting their lives or they're acting easily in an evil way. So how can you relate to that and feel the simcha about that until it doesn't affect you?
Well, I say that's exactly why that's Purim. You can't speak about it. That's what it's all about. That's exactly the same. That's it. You're right. That's what the seichel tells you. That's exactly it. But you see, that's what it says. Anyway, a lot of the poskim hold as a result of this. You probably know that the reason why this story comes afterwards is to tell you, possibly from here, that you shouldn't get too drunk and poor. Just look what happened. A lot of the poskim learn like that. That's how the story, they bring it down, Al-Pi Halacha, to tell you have to know how to do it. But anyway, that's the simple shot about Hyvinish Livisume, you know, Bepuria, that they want Livisume before Dafka, the whole Yisod is Livisume. And, you know, Adelo Yoda. Now, the truth is that. A different awareness, you know, a transcendence. You realize on Purim you've been starving a lot. Lo yoda, right? Or there's always capacity for the sweetness of things. Again, Reyach on Purim. That's already, and that's what happened on Purim, where the Bnei Yisrael were, you think about it, where were we? In exile, you know. Going to Mordechai, going to the Suda of Achashverosh, which is such a low Suda, you know, Achashverosh drinking and they're talking about women and they're having who knows what belly dances and whatever it was like. It was really a low place, you know. And Mordechai tells all the Jews not to go in. 15,000 Jews don't listen, go into the Suda and get drunk, Shtaker, Skalkalu, and a Kitrug in Shemayim comes up. Says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, these are your people. These are the ones that you received. I mean, who were they? And look at them, Pashas. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, within Zera, and within a few weeks, however long it was, through the whole Gezerah that comes about, out of that entire process, all of a sudden, Bnei Israel are being makabel the Torah with Ahava. Yeah, a level, they were on a level higher than they were at Har Sinai. The same yin, the same ones that were going to Achashverosh's Suda, the belly dancers. The same ones who are nistaker and like turning into like behemoths there. Ad kidei kach, with the angels and the shamayim say, that's your people! That's who you gave the Torah to! Yeah, in a short period of time, Bnei Yisrael reached the darga of Avos Hashem that was great, a level that was greater than the level at Har Sinai, and they made a Kabbalah Satorah out of Ava that lasted for all generations, that was a greater Kabbalah of Torah and a greater level of Ava than Har Sinai himself, at Sinai itself. Kadosh Baruch Hu, with all of the fire and the lightning, on Purim Bnei Yisrael reached a higher level of Avos Hashem. And it was a greater Kabbalah Satorah. Yeah, it was the greatest level of Ahava that had ever been reached, yeah, in all of the history of Am Yisrael. Wow. More than all the open Nisim. Then they realized that what happened with the whole process of Haman, it brought them, it stirred the whole concept of being, you know, what they realized they were in Gzeira's Klai, and all of a sudden, with more highness, and they saw how it was saved. And as a result of Hakara, all of a sudden, that's like a Reach of something so sweet. And that Reach opened them up, Pashit, and they had Bnei Yisrael and the Kabbalah the Torah for all doors. This Purim was the whole beginning of Bayis Sheni, and it was all the beginning of the period of the Tanoim, and all of the Torah that came out of the Tanoim, and Rabbi Yekiva and Rabbi Yonah, it all came out of Purim. The Kabbalah of Torah of Av and the Jewish people in Purim. That's when the Reach, you get a little sense in Purim of what could be, you know. And Bnei Yisrael changed over, like, it's unbelievable what happened to them. Who's, what's the reality, you know, put on a mask, you know, which is, where's Emes, you know, who, is that the reality of the Jew, the Achashverosh, the ones who are at the Suda, that's the Jew, it's a mask, you know, who, it's unbelievable what happened, and it reached the largest, the highest dark of Avra that ever had been, and the Mephoshim Rabbi Yerucham writes, he writes on the mitzvahs of Purim, so, you know, he brings them as a result that Purim, yeah, Yom Kippur is actually supposed to be a Yom Kippurim, you know, it's a famous that everybody says over. So the Rabbi Yerucham writes, what's the pshat on this? So he says, what is the pshat of Yom Kippur? He says, you should know, Yom Kippur is one of the great days of Ahava in the Jewish calendar. He says, Yom Kippur is a day, right, that sins at such a level of purity. So he says, the Yom of Slicho Machila. It's a day where all of the barriers fall down between the Jewish people and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And as a result, on Yom Kippur, it's a day where all of the barriers fall down between every Jew. There's no kina, no sina, no tachrus. There's no hatred, there's no jealousies. There's no competition. Sholeit bo, rules over the Jewish people. Ahava, va'achava, love, brotherhood, friendliness. Kisora, the kitzer. He says, you should know in Yom Kippur, kol harovit batel. Yeah. All of evil is nullified in Yom Kippur. B'yom ze'et la'odon. That's what it says. Ad kidei kach, that they say the Kedusha of Yom Kippur is so great that the Yetzer Atzmo, the Yetzer Hara himself, is mitapech the tov. You have no idea. And the Satan, which is the Yetzer, goes and stands in for Hashem and defends them. No idea. That's Yom Kippur. Says Rabbi Yerucham, When the Arizal writes that Yom Kippur is just Kippurim, says you should know, and you know Shapurim is like Yom Kippur, which means Yisod of Shapurim hu Avos Habriyos. He says the Yisod of Purim is Ava, the day of Kulo Ava, and it's a day, it's the greatest day of Ava in the entire year, and it's the greatest day of Avos Habriyos, the Avos Klal Yisrael, love of other human beings in the entire year. He writes, it's the greatest day. That in Yom Kippur and Purim, it's a day that's a complete nullification of all hatred, all jealousies, right? And Rak Ava v'Shalom Yisharim v'Yisrael, the Jewish people, what it means to be a Jew, and Dveikus to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Dveikus to other parts of Am Yisrael. Rak Ava v'Shalom Yisharim v'Yisrael, only peace and love should dwell among the Jewish people. He says, and this is the whole Yisod of the mitzvahs of Purim. What are the Iker mitzvahs of Purim? Mishalach Manois, Matanis Levyonim. So he says, why dafka Mishalach Manois? So he says, you know, what's Mishalach Monas? What kind of mitzvah is Mishalach Monas? So So he says, Mishalach Manois, right, is that the whole Yisrael. That in Purim we were Makabal, when every person was Makabal Torah, yet there became such an Avos Yisrael. That's the concept that he says, Davka, through Mishalach Manois, it's a way, Mishalach Manois on Purim is the same as the asking for Mechila on Yom Kippur. On Mechila on Yom Kippur, so you ask for Mechila, you ask for forgiveness. And on Purim, you know, sending Mishalach Manos is the same Yisod. All the barriers fall down between Jews and Purim. So he writes, and therefore he says, Achidish in Halacha, he says, therefore, Mi'ikra Mitzvah is Sheyishalach Lemishi Yeshlo Tanoi. You should Davka send Mishalach Manos to someone who you have had a fight with, you have coldness in your heart, you're makbid on him, you're angry at him for something. And Davka has to be something Choshuv in order that a person should be Mesipayes, it should cause Simcha. Same thing with Matanas Levyonim, that there should be no Jew, right, that shouldn't be Besimcha, you should want Tov for every Jew, Chas v'Shalom, there should be a Jew that shouldn't be Besimcha, right. The kids, so that's the whole Yisod, it should be like a, you have to Davka give it, to bring down all of the machitzas between people. Shorshi mitzvahs elu, mishisrachesh bi'avo, and she brings love, he says, and he writes, Ube'emes, Rabbi Yerucham writes, that you should know, I'm going to stop in a minute, I'm sorry, I'm just going to finish the minute, says, you should know, that lahargish zos bechush, he says, a person who has a proper Purim, you can feel this bechush, that Purim is mashpia shefesh al bracha l'kaisa. He says that on Purim you feel it in the streets, everybody's going around, how you doing, giving presents, there's no other mitzvah day where you give presents to each other, there's a mitzvah, every Jew is giving presents back and forth, all hundreds of presents back and forth, the kids are running through, take or no, there's a kayak, remember? He says, you feel bechush, it's the greatest day. Yeah, it's the greatest day of Avos Yisrael in the entire year.
Wow.
All kinas disappear, the fights go away, like, mochet pazer, it's something unbelievable. You have no idea what Purim is, how much the day of Avos, because the day of Kul Av, the drinking is Kul Avos Hashem, as I say. And the Mishalach Manos, in order to do that, just like when Kabbalah Satara, we have to reach complete Achdus, when we're standing under the mountain. So on Purim, which is the greater Kabbalah Satara than the Kabbalah Satara we had during Har Sinai, that you reach complete oneness of all of Am Yisrael. Get rid of all machitzas between all Jews, right? That's why they have the mitzvah. That's Me'ein Lo'os Lossi Lovo, and as a result of that, Ava, it's a bitul hara through Ava. As we say, where a person is able to do it, you come to dig Ava, as Hashem, as a vital of the Ra. I'll just end with this. This one he writes. He says, Dinei Purim, he says a beautiful thing, Rabbi Rucham, he writes, he says that he writes that somebody on Purim can know. Where is he writing? He says a beautiful thing. He writes. Listen to what he writes. He says Ube'emes. He says in truth you should know. Kol echad you call chush lezois. That every person can feel this me'atzmo. That mishalach manos that he receives. Yeah, from the mishalach manos that he gives on Purim. He receives a greater roshem than the alchetz that he says on Yom Kippur. He says, when somebody says alchetz, you reach a darga of cleanliness and purity. You know, this is what I did alchetz. So you reach a level of tara and purity and ava. You know, through all the alchetz, you know, that level of purity. He says that's already a very great mitzvah. He says, but you know, he says for most people, the rishum, the impression of the alchetz, it lasts until most of Yom Kippur, and then it sort of goes away. He writes. He says, but Mishloach Manos, when a person sends on Purim, Mishloach Manos, with Ava, he says, the Mishloach Manos that a person sends on Purim, they last for years, he writes.
Wow.
He says, the Al-Chaytz that you do on Yom Kippur, they last for Yom Kippur, and then they're away by Motzi Yom Kippur. But the Mishloach Manos on Purim, that's what he writes. Words of Rabbi Rucham, Efshir Sheyaspia Lav, Meshech Shonim Rabbos. Shpia on a person for shunning rabbis and shalach manas that you send because it's the day of giving, you know, the day of reus that's greater than Yom Kippur. It's a greater, it's a kedusha that comes through Ava, and that's the yisod of the suda as well, and the drinking, people, it bonds people together, and the suda, it's the same type of thing. And through that dafi, you raise up to a level of bitul hara, through the giving, you're mefatal all of the ra and human beings. Once you mevatel the ra, then you're able to see as well. Hayavinush levesumi the poy adelo yoda bein ora haman the mordechai. You're able to reach a different darga. You're able to mevatel the ra and gamri as well. You know, say there's no difference in ora haman and boach mordechai. First, he says you start at the beginning of the day with Mikra Megillah and Mechias Amalek. That's in the Gedera of logic, of Seichel. And the Gedera of Seichel, so Ra is Ra and Tov is Tov. And you go out of your way. This is like the darker that you were saying, we have to destroy them. That's how we start in Amalek. You start, we're going to destroy Ra, we're going to kill, you know, kill Amalek, it's Ra. And you meditate on the Ra, see how evil it is. And you decide, I'm going to destroy it, I'm going to do everything I want to destroy it. Mechazek Tov, that's the beginning of the day. But then, as you start going through the day and start giving the mitzvahs, from the darkness of Ava, it turns to a much deeper level where at the end of the day you reach a level where you're able to transcend in general the whole process of Tov V'Ra. You reach a level, you know, get beyond the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra as well, which is Haman, Hamin Ho'Eitz Hazeh. That's what they learn out, that Haman is the Bechina of Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. And the Sumi Vipuria, you lift yourself up out of the world of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra into the world of Eitz HaChaim, or the Darga of Torah, and that comes from highest of the Sumi. And as a result of that, it's like a different part at the end. That's how the whole process goes. So at the beginning, you say Tov is Tov V'Ra, and that's the data of the Seichel. Anyway, that's a bit of an introduction to Purim. Yeah, I really wanted to tell you. Alright, wrap this chat over here on something, but we didn't get to it. Oh. Anyway, yeah, that was fine. Anyway, everybody should have a Freilich HaPurim. Bring out some drinks. Bring out the whiskey. Let's go.
Much of the 3-day plan.